All right.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today is January 30th, 2026. Our top story this morning, we all knew this was coming, right? I mean, we knew this day would get here. We were hoping maybe it would be a little bit while, a little bit down the road. Well, it's here. The most epic, brutal of price slams. Mr. Slammy has arrived. Gold and silver are getting absolutely demolished. I mean, one of the most brutal sell-offs in metals history, taking us all the way back to the prices we were trading at like 3 or 4 days ago. So, I mean, look, hey, these prices are still pretty wild, but look at some of the numbers here. Gold sold off more than $350, currently trading right around $5,000, down from $5,600 2 days ago. A $600 sell-off in a matter of what, like 36 hours? Silver down about 16 bucks, trading right around $99. At least that's where it was 30 seconds ago before I hit go live. After reaching a high of $121 yesterday, and, you know, I'm talking to a viewer yesterday, and he says to me, you know, silver was 117 bucks, and I went and took a nap, and I woke up, and silver was 117 bucks again. I didn't realize at the time that silver had, while I was sleeping for about an hour and a half, gone to 121 and then back down to 106 and then back up to 117. And now here we are below 90, or below 100 at 99. What the hell? All right. So look, the lazy thing to do is to just be like, my manipulation of the banks and the chatbot told me it was because of some big conspiracy. And, you know, it's easy to just accept that at face value and move on and be like, the other guy is evil and that's why I lost money. Or you could think, you could read, you could research, you could figure out the mechanics of what's going on. Guys, this is a deleveraging, a fast, sudden, violent deleveraging. This is why I always say be careful on leverage, no FOMO. Don't chase, don't lever up during these vertical moves. You can make a fortune, but then you can lose it in the blink of an eye. And that's what's going on here. We had margin increases at the CME that took effect yesterday right at the open. That caused some forced selling because people were overextended. People who had no business borrowing money to buy silver futures borrowed a bunch of money to buy silver futures. And when the margin man called, they couldn't pony up, and so they were forced to sell. You have this ridiculous obsession with leverage going on in China where they are paying way too much, going way too out. This article in Bloomberg about up to 40x leverage being used in some of these Chinese exchanges. And when the cops came in, the Chinese sent the police to try to calm everybody down and limit this ridiculous overextension. They started brawling with the cops over it. That when you have that much enthusiasm, that much FOMO going on, you're going to get these violent reversals. It's why I always say be careful on leverage. Now, this is going to run its course. It's going to flush out all these people who had no business getting into it in the first place. When the dust settles from that, I assume we are going to continue grinding higher. Hopefully not shooting higher, but grinding higher. As always, guys, you just have to be careful on leverage. Don't chase, don't lever up. I know I always say this, and you know, when you see prices going vertical, it's tempting to do that, but this is why you don't, because this could happen and it could all go up in smoke. And this is also why I've been saying for several weeks, don't forget to take some profits along the way. If you never take any profits, then you never made any money. And then this happens and you lose it all. Now, again, let's temper all this, right? Price is still hovering right around $100, $5,000 silver, still amazing prices. Up to a couple of days ago, we all would have been foaming at the mouth at these prices. And now after going to 5,600 and 121 in silver so quickly, now we're like, oh, we were rich and it's gone. So let's try to keep it all in perspective. Now, one of the reasons being floated as the cause of this sell-off in silver, and I disagree with this premise, but one of the reasons being floated was that Kevin Warsh has been nominated to be the next chairman of the Federal Reserve, replacing Jerome Powell, who will so far remain a Fed governor, just won't be the chairman. His term as chairman will be up. Kevin Warsh is a former Fed governor from 2006 to 2011. Not really a great time for the Fed, by the way. He has been tapped by President Trump to be the next Fed chair. He was once considered a hawk, like an inflation hawk, one of the like raise interest rates, fight inflation kind of guys. And ever since then, he has changed and now sings a completely different tune. And that tune is President Trump's tune about sharply lower interest rates. So he's going to be another vote for lower rates when he gets in there. He's certainly not a hawk. He's acting like a dove right now. But the dollar actually popped ever so slightly. We saw like a 40 basis point move in the Dixie on this announcement yesterday. The market is treating this with a sigh of relief. And that sigh of relief, I think, is because they're saying, at least it's not Rick Rieder. At least it's not the chief investment officer from freaking BlackRock, which the administration had leaked as a possible Fed chairman late last week, earlier this week. And everybody, self-included, were freaking out over the possibility of Rick Rieder being the next Fed chair. Like, tell me you're going to print money and pump stocks without actually telling me. And to be honest with you, I think we all got played. I really do. I think Rick Rieder, after having looked at this in the way that the current occupant in at 1600 operates, the way he creates chaos and then offers the solution, I think we all got manipulated. I think they floated Rick Rieder so we would all freak out so that Kevin Warsh would look like a sigh of relief when really he's just another dove. And the market, I mean, like a fiddle, the market was played because you're seeing the dollar surge a little bit. It's not a huge bump in the Dixie. And I don't think this is what's driving the big sell-off in gold and silver. I do think it's contributing a little bit. But I really think they leaked that strategically just to make Warsh look better. I'm not celebrating Kevin Warsh at the Fed chair. Sure, it could be worse. It could be Rick Rieder. I don't think the Federal Reserve as an institution should exist at all. I don't think these unelected bureaucrats should have access to a money printer that can simultaneously rob the whole world. And I don't think anybody can be trusted with that power, even if Kevin Warsh may not be the worst possible pick out of 7 billion people on the planet. I still just think nobody should have that much. So that's going on. He's the new guy who's going to come in and fight inflation. And he's got his work picked out or cut out for him because PPI came in sharply higher than expected this morning and up by most measures from where it was. We'll talk about those numbers. Producer price inflation is on the rise. This is this problem ain't going away. Even though we're all like cut rates, print money, we are still dealing with the inflation of the last few years. It's still there. We got Apple earnings this morning. They were good. The iPhone 17 is selling well. China sales are on the rise, although Apple stock is doing a whole bunch of nothing on that news. Earnings from the oil majors, Chevron and Exxon Mobil, they are both pumping oil like crazy, although lower prices is squeezing profits somewhat on those two names. Microsoft yesterday, this story was crazy. Microsoft yesterday had the second biggest single day loss of market cap in history for any stock. They lost more than $350 billion of market cap in one day following that earnings where they were punished for increasing their CapEx. Now, the only market cap loss bigger than that in history was NVIDIA's reaction following the DeepSeek story. Other than that, the biggest loss of any stock in history, that's $350 billion, guys. That is the market cap of Chevron or the market cap of Netflix. Understand how much money went up in smoke with Microsoft yesterday. They dumped a Chevron off of their earnings. And in the same day, on ostensibly the same quality of earnings, Meta went $300 billion or so in the opposite direction. So what was the appropriate market reaction? Is the AI bubble going to get the Meta treatment where cash burn is rewarded or the Microsoft treatment where cash burn is punished? I don't know yet. But the AI bros have got to be nervous about that move in Microsoft yesterday. What else we got? Amex and Visa earnings came out this morning. They were both pretty good. Christmas was pretty good, and it was all on the plastic. That is the takeaway from those. Americans went further into debt to stimulate consumption. We've got the First Brands founder has been indicted. Nobody, or pretty much everybody, saw that coming. And last but not least, possibly a deal reached to avoid a government shutdown. Although, even if this deal that was possibly reached and still hasn't actually been reached, even if they vote on it right away, it's still not going to be done in time to avoid the shutdown. So I guess the government's going to shut down again, and I just can't figure out what kind of sandwich to make. Guys, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for you new guys so you can come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every single day. And right now we've got the S&P 500 is negative, down 30 points, 0.44% in the red. The Dow is off by 239 points, about a half a percent lower. And the NASDAQ is off by 170 points, 0.65% lower this morning. Stocks are down pretty much across the board. The DXY is higher this morning, 96.64, up by about 50 basis points. Much of that coming in the aftermath of the leak that Kevin Warsh was going to be the new Fed chair. You may recall we've been looking at the Dixie chart a lot this week, that 96.2 level. That was very important. You know what? While we're on that, let's just bring that up. Why don't we? Instead of talking about it, why don't we bring it up? We're doing it live. Where is it? Here we go. U.S. dollar index. Is this the one I wanted? No, it is not. Give me trading view. Come on. Sorry, guys. I should have had this chart ready to rock before the show went live. I am remiss, but I do want to show you. Okay. All right. Jack has been drawing squigglies. Yeah. Let's go to 1 hour candles here. This is what I was looking at. This red line is that roughly 96.2 level. That was support before it was resistance. That was the level. If we broke down, it looked like we were heading to 89 on the Dixie. All right. And then let's zoom in a little bit on these hourly candles. You can see this chart pattern that I drew here, this symmetrical triangle. Symmetrical triangles aren't really indicative of direction. They just predict that a big move is coming one way or another. You could break out to the downside of a symmetrical triangle hard, or you could break out to the upside hard. Now, we were threatening to break out right here. We were threatening to break down. And this green candle right here, that is when the story about Kevin Warsh's Fed chair broke. And we immediately popped above this level. And you can see we're kind of like challenging this upper bound of that symmetrical triangle. It looks like the DXY could be rejecting this 96.2 level and heading higher here. At least right now it does. A few hours ago, it looked like it was going to break down. But I think that may be contributing, not the direct cause, but certainly contributing to the sell-off in metals this morning. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are a little bit higher here. The 30-year Treasury, 4.881, higher by almost 3 basis points. The 10-year's at 4.249%, higher by 2 points and change. The two-year yield is at 3.551%, unchanged for the morning. And the 1 month is at 3.699, higher by almost 1 basis point. Not a lot happening in bonds here. Oh, man, in commodities, though, it is a sea of red this morning. Look at this. And again, while we're looking at these big, massive percentage and nominal moves, let's try to take stock of where we're actually at and imagine our perspective from just a week ago. We would be very happy to have these prices. Gold, spot gold, $5,049, down $321 after hitting an intraday high of $54.50 and a low of $49.40. Right now, we're down about 5.9%. This may be, don't quote me on this, this may be the biggest single day drop in gold price history. I'm not entirely sure of that, but certainly not on a percentage basis, but on a dollar basis, this may be the biggest one. Let's see, April COMEX gold futures, 5,085, down by about $270 or 5% lower. Silver just getting absolutely clobbered here. $98.18 for spot silver, off by $17.60, 15.2% lower. These 10, 15, $18 intraday swings in silver are nuts. Absolutely nuts. March COMEX futures right behind it at 97.95, down $16.50, 14.5%. Look at the price ranges here. Look at the highs and lows. 118.34 for the high, 95.20 for the low. What are we looking at? $23 intraday move, and it's 9:17 in the morning. Okay. Hey, you know what? I like the shiny. It's making my neck hurt, but I like the shiny. Just be careful on leverage, guys. These sell-offs are brutal here. Copper selling off as well. We have more to say about copper in a minute. After hitting all-time highs yesterday, it's down 2.9%. Platinum is along for the ride on this sell-off, off by 12.6%. Palladium off by 9.4%. Oh, crude oil. We got something is green here. Oil up 21 cents, $65.64 for March WTI futures. Okay, let's talk about some of the things going on in this market, by the way. Here's first of all, let's talk about this one. Let me close some of these charts up. We're not going to look at these. All right, copper falls as LME trade halt caps turbulent week for metals. All right, now this is pretty interesting. The LME is not where a lot of gold and silver trades. Actually, I don't think they trade any gold and silver at the LME now. I think that's all done at the LBMA. But how many times have we seen this in crypto? And metals are kind of getting the crypto treatment, aren't they? $15, $20 intraday swings, sell-offs of $350 on seemingly no news. I mean, gold and silver are moving like meme stocks here. And what happens when meme stocks or when meme coins have big moves? Exchanges go down because of technical glitches, don't they? And then look at this story at the LME. Copper falls as LME trade halt caps turbulent week for metals. Copper sank from a record toward the end of an extraordinary week for metals, marked by frenzied trading, huge gains, and in a late twist, a one-hour delay to the opening of the London Metal Exchange. The world's biggest metals bourse opened belatedly at 10 a.m. Hong Kong time on Friday after standard pre-trading checks identified a potential technical issue, and the exchange ordered a precautionary delay. Yeah, technically, one of our rich friends was about to get anally reamed by metal prices, so we fixed the glitch, let's put it that way. That made for a nervy start to business as market participants in Asia speculated over who might be sitting on losses after huge price moves on Thursday. Following the delayed start, benchmark three-month futures fell by almost 4% to nearly 13,000 a ton on the LME after peaking above 14,500 a ton on Thursday, driven by a sudden wave of buying by Chinese speculative investors with few precedents. The end-of-week drop came as mainland buyers pulled back. Other commodities, including gold, sank, and the U.S. currency rose. Oh, those suspiciously timed technical glitches at the crypto exchanges have now jumped species, right? We've had this major cross-contamination. Now it's in metals markets. And I guess we shouldn't be too surprised, right? Didn't they do the same thing with nickel or zinc a couple of years ago, right? The second the rich guys make money, technical problems just seem to come out of nowhere, don't they? Amazing how that works. Now, they were also talking about a wave of speculative buying in China in that last article. And I want to send a shout out to my man, Bob Coleman from Idaho Armored Vault at Profits Plus ID on Twitter, who tweeted this article yesterday. Now, this article was before the sell-off in gold and silver started. But this does set the stage for why we're seeing this brutal sell-off in metals. China's precious metal frenzy sparks protest as risks grow. Chinese investors piling into a record-breaking rally in precious metals are becoming increasingly exposed to risk as speculative demand pushes local prices well above international benchmarks. Authorities in the southern city of Shenzhen set up a special task force to oversee the operations of a gold trading platform, according to a statement from Luo District Government. After investors faced difficulties withdrawing funds from their accounts, well, that's something else we see in crypto exchanges, don't they? Oh, we can't get your money out. China's only pure play silver fund, meanwhile, halted trading briefly and turned away new investors. The backdrop to the drama is a breakneck rally in global prices. Gold surged to a record above $5,300 an ounce on Wednesday and has gained more than a fifth this year, fueled by dollar weakness and investor flight from sovereign currencies and bonds. Silver's rise has been even more dramatic, around 60% in just 4 weeks. Again, this article was written before this price slam started. Local prices in China are even higher, even after accounting for the 13% value-added tax borne by local importers, with investors' appetite for precious metals seemingly insatiable over the past few months. The latest events are a stark example of the frenzied nature of investing in bullion and a sign of how tricky it might yet become. Around 100 users of the Shenzhen Jiwu Rui gold trading platform crowded the company's premises on Tuesday, with a video posted on Hong Kong-based news outlet HKO1 showing a handful scuffling with police. Bloomberg News was unable to verify the authenticity of the video. Maybe it was AI slop. Maybe not. I didn't see that one. Jiewoo Rui allows users to lock in gold prices for future delivery by posting margin equal to as little as 1/40th, 1 over 40, 1/40th of the spot price, effectively offering 40x leverage, according to Chinese media group, something I can't pronounce. The platform operator was not available for comment. Such leverage would place a high requirement on the operating company to hedge against price swings and maintain fund flows, as well as sufficient inventory for delivery. With gold prices hitting successive highs, this became especially challenging. The platform is just one example of the many small to medium-sized gold traders who operate platforms in Shenzhen, home to the biggest physical bullion marketplace in China. The local industry association issued a sector-wide warning as early as last October, citing a crackdown on three companies. Similarly, a major silver seller in the city of Shuibei also defaulted on delivery in January, with more than 350 people waiting to be compensated. Anticipating risk to investors, a number of funds have halted subscriptions after overwhelming demand drove premiums well above the value of their underlying assets. The UBS SDIC Silver Futures Fund, LOF, took such a step from Wednesday, having issued near-daily risk warnings and frequently halting trading since early December. Its premium over Shanghai Futures silver contracts remained elevated at 36%, according to data. Guys, this is insane what the Chinese investors are doing in metal. Absolutely crazy, all right? The Shanghai Futures price is like 15 to 18% higher than the COMEX price. And then the ETF that buys those futures is trading at a 36% premium above that level. These imbeciles were paying like 1.5 times the going rate for metal just to get price exposure. Of course this sell-off was going to happen. All right, this is what happens when idiots get a twinkle in their eye watching a chart go vertical and think it can only ever go up. They don't pay attention to what they're paying, and then price discovery is swift and brutal. The premium was unsustainable, and investors could face significant losses if the market suddenly turns, which it just did, the fund said in its latest notice. Trading was halted briefly on Wednesday morning. Meanwhile, the eFund Gold Theme Fund has also stepped in to quell heated sentiment with its manager, halting new subscriptions from Wednesday. The Chinese just went absolutely apeshit for gold, and now that trade is unwinding. Also, another good one from Bob Coleman at Profits Plus ID on X. This is a CME group. I missed this one yesterday. Apparently, this went out Tuesday, taking effect Wednesday. They raised margin again. Margin used to be 9%, 9%. They raised it to 12.1% for silver contracts. A similar raise from 9 to 13.2 for platinum futures, and palladium went from 11 to 15.4. Now, these are percentage moves. So it was just a couple of weeks ago that the CME group shifted from cash margin requirements to percentage margin requirements, which are effectively ongoing margin increases as the prices rise. And now they're raising them even more from 9 to about 12.1%. So you are seeing the CME group raise margin requirements again. They've done this several times since the fall. So this sell-off, you could have seen this one coming. We did see this one coming. We warned over and over about this. People didn't want to hear it. People just want to hear silver's going to $1,000 because some chatbot told me that the system is rigged. Stay grounded, guys. Keep your feet on the ground. That's the only thing I tell you. These sell-offs, this may not be the last time this happens. I'm not convinced this is the end of the metals rally. We could see this happen over and over again as we continue higher. Now, one thing being floated as the possible cause of this sell-off in metals, I disagree that this was the cause, but it may be contributing a little bit. Trump picks a reinvented Warsh to lead the Federal Reserve. President Donald Trump said he intends to nominate Kevin Warsh to be the next Fed chair. According to a post on his Truth Social platform, I've known Kevin for a long period of time and have no doubt that he will go down as one of the great Fed chairmen, maybe the best, Trump wrote. On top of everything else, he is central casting and he will never let you down. I don't know what he is central casting even means. If confirmed by the Senate, the former Fed governor will take charge of U.S. monetary policy at a time when many economists and investors see its traditional insulation from elected officials as being under threat from the White House. Warsh aligned himself with the president in 2025 by arguing publicly for lower interest rates, going against his longstanding reputation as an inflation hawk. The dollar held gains and U.S. stock futures remained lower after Trump confirmed reports he would pick Warsh, While Warsh has echoed Trump's calls for lower borrowing costs and revamping the central bank, traders see him as potentially more hawkish than other candidates for the role, given how much he worried about inflation when at the Fed and his more recent criticism of its large balance sheet. During his time at the Fed, Warsh was consistently wary of inflation and often supported higher interest rates. Last year, however, he echoed Trump's view that rates should be cut significantly lower. A willingness to cut rates is seen as a litmus test for the next Fed chair, worrying Fed watchers that this would undermine the central bank's independence. Oh, my Fed independence. It doesn't matter. No matter what, the Fed is going to print money and lower interest rates to support asset prices. They always do. I think this market is relieved that it's worse because they were threatening to put Rick Rieder in there. And I honestly think we all got played when they floated that BlackRock guy as the next Fed chair. I think that was all about making Warsh look better. And now Warsh is on his way to Washington. We'll see. We wish him luck. May the odds be ever in your favor. No, I take it back. The Federal Reserve should not even be a thing. It should not exist. And his job is going to be to fight inflation. He's going to remain squarely focused on their dual mandate. Meanwhile, inflation is not going anywhere. U.S. producer price changes just came out this morning. PPI for the month of December, 3.0%, unchanged from November, but the market was expecting a decline to 2.7%. So this is a big miss to the upside for December producer price inflation, which measures inflation further upstream. On a month-over-month basis, it was a big miss high. We've got 0.5% month-over-month for headline PPI. The market was expecting 0.2%. And that is up from 0.2 last month. So monthly producer price inflation is trending up, even though the Fed remains squarely focused on their dual mandate. Core inflation looks even worse. Core inflation, 3.3% year over year. The market was expecting 2.9%, and that is up from 3.1. Another miss on core inflation. And monthly, it looks even worse. Monthly core PPI 0.7%. The market was expecting 0.2%, and that is up from nothing last month. Inflation is not dead, and they're already working on making it worse. And we wonder why gold is $5,000. And that's also why I'm not particularly troubled by this big sell-off in gold, because inflation is still doing what it's doing. All right, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit here now. We've also got a whole bunch of earnings this morning. Apple's upbeat forecast clouded by fears about rising costs. All right, let's talk about this one. Apple's earnings look pretty good. They delivered record quarterly sales and a better than anticipated forecast for the current period, even as the company warned that rising component costs are threatening to squeeze margins. Revenue will rise 13 to 16% in the second quarter, which runs through March. The company said Thursday during a press conference with analysts that exceeded the 10% projections by Wall Street, showing that Apple can maintain momentum after an iPhone-fueled sales surge in December. But still, the specter of rising memory prices clouded the results. After a minimal effect last quarter, the company expects more of an impact to gross margins in the current quarter, CEO Tim Cook said. We do continue to see market pricing for memory increasing significantly, he said. Apple also said it's facing unrelated supply constraints with the iPhone's 3-nanometer processor and supplies for its AirPod Pro 3. So the memory shortage is hitting Apple. The memory shortage is hitting all the phone makers. We're acting like the memory shortage isn't going to affect the AI hardware makers for some reason. But okay, I guess we can't damage that AI bubble narrative. Also in Apple's earnings, really good iPhone 17 sales, big bumps in their China revenues. And their services are looking pretty good. MacBook's not doing so hot. It was a good quarter for Apple. People seem to be focused on those price increases, though. We've got Apple stock is down 1.88, almost 1.9% now, $253.28. Although Apple up 7.9% over the last year, this one's pretty much trading sideways. We also got a lot of earnings from the oil majors today. Exxon, Chevron are producing oil at record rates, but lower prices led to lower earnings. And honestly, I think we don't have to read the article, guys. I mean, I can give you the percent year over year and all that other stuff here. The title tells the whole story. U.S. oil producers are pumping oil like crazy. It's driving the prices lower, and it's squeezing their margins. And keep in mind, OPEC also increased production last year. And then supposedly we're going to have all this Venezuelan oil is going to hit the market soon. Although there was also a story this morning about Chevron saying basically they're not going to go pump CapEx into Venezuela. If they do invest in Venezuela, it's going to be basically a self-sustaining venture-fueled operation. Chevron is very weary of socialists nationalizing their stuff again after they did it the last time. Either way, guys, the narrative of the supply glut in oil, that is alive and well. Although we're also sitting here with aircraft carriers parked off Iran's coast threatening like the fifth war this year, and it's only January. So apparently that might be a thing too. That's why oil's a little higher over the last few days. But for now, ExxonMobil stock down 1%, $139-ish for ExxonMobil. And Chevron is at 172 and change, up a dollar or about a half a percent. Oil majors going a whole bunch of nowhere here on these earnings. Microsoft, absolutely brutal yesterday. Microsoft's $357 billion route is the worst since DeepSeek hit NVIDIA. We had some fireworks in tech yesterday. Microsoft shares got caught up in the sell-off Thursday that wiped out $357 billion in value, the second largest for a single session in stock market history. The software giant stock closed down 10%, its biggest plunge since March of 2020. Oh, that was a good time. Following Microsoft's earnings after the bell on Wednesday, which showed record spending on artificial intelligence as growth at its key cloud unit slowed, the only bigger one-day valuation destruction was NVIDIA's $593 billion route last year after the launch of DeepSeek's low-cost AI model. Microsoft's move is larger than the market caps of more than 90% of the S&P 500 index members, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Guys, that should scare the pants off of you. All right. One company, one stock shed more value in one trading session than the total value of 90% of the other stocks in the S&P 500 index. That shows you how concentrated, how all of the eggs are in this one tiny little basket. And, well, that basket dropped an egg yesterday. Big smelly egg, too. The sell-off comes amid heightened skepticism from investors that the hundreds of billions of dollars big tech is spending on AI will eventually pay off. Trust me, bro. Microsoft's results showed a 66% rise in capital expenditures in its most recent quarter to a record $37.5 billion, while growth at its closely tracked Azure cloud computing unit slowed from the prior quarter. It slowed by 1%, by the way. 1% slowing growth, and the market freaked out. What happens if that growth stops or even goes negative? 1%. Since it is becoming even more evident that Microsoft is not going to garner a strong ROI from their massive AI investment, their shares need to be revalued back down to a level that is more consistent with its historic fair value, said Matthew Malley, chief market strategist at Miller Tabak & Co. Just remember, guys, nobody saw this coming. Microsoft, it's up about a half a percent today, recovering some of those losses, $436.16 after a big drop yesterday. Look, guys, over the last year, Microsoft is now pretty much dead money. It's down 2% from where we were a year ago now. That's pretty wild. Let's verify. Is that accurate? Let's make sure that number is accurate. Are we really down 2% from where we were 1 year ago? No, we are up 5% from where we were a year ago. That's why we got to refresh these things. But still, basically trading sideways over the last year, although it was up and then it's down. This sell-off is now, what, about 6 months long in the tooth. I think the AI bubble has peaked. I could be wrong about that one, but that's where my money is. Meanwhile, we've got American Express falls after earnings. The stock is having a rocky start to 2026. We'll try to go through this one pretty quick too here, guys. American Express slipped Friday after the credit card giant's quarterly earnings slightly missed analyst estimates. The company did post pretty good numbers, though. Earnings of $3.53 a share, just below consensus of $3.54. Revenue net of interest totaled 18.98%, up 10% from last year. Higher than Wall Street's call for $18.92 billion. People put Christmas on the card, guys. I mean, consumer spending at Christmas was strong, and it was all on the card. Right now, though, American Express down about 2% here, $351. off by about $7. We got kind of the same story here from Visa. Visa beats expectations on stronger spending. Its stock is falling. Kind of the same story with Visa. Let's get some of the numbers here for the first quarter in 2026 for the year ended. For the first quarter of his 2026 fiscal year ended December 31st. I hate the way they mess with the years, by the way. Visa posted adjusted earnings of $3.17 a share, up 15% from a year ago. The payment giant reported net revenue of $10.9 billion, up 15%, driven by growth in payments volume, cross-border volume, and processed transactions. People are swiping their cards, guys. They're going further into debt. The numbers look pretty good, and yet Visa stock down by 1%. Guess the market was expecting better, $328.48 for Visa. Also, we've got First Brands founder charged with fraud that erased billions, surprising nobody. Just a reminder, guys, as all of this private credit and private equity crap is being dumped into your 401ks, while Wall Street tells you just how excited they are to offer you this big opportunity to democratize access to all the toxic sludge that they're having trouble selling to unsuspecting investors. Just remember Jamie Dimon's cockroaches, First Brands founder, charged with fraud that erased billions of dollars. You can also add Renovo to that. You can add Tricolor to that. Coming soon, Carvana to be added to that. Karyox Capital and Bonken Brombot, what he was doing. Who knows? Who knows, guys? Because the real sell-off hasn't even started. We haven't even really had the big deleveraging event. But we're seeing how quick and brutal it can come in precious metals markets today. Just imagine if that hits the private credit market. But again, that won't happen until Wall Street is done selling that crap to your 401k, then securing a short position for themselves. Then they'll market to market. Last one of the day, Democrats and the White House strike a spending deal that would avert a government shutdown. Stop me if you've heard this one. Congress sucks. Everybody hates each other. Politics is becoming increasingly violent. Everybody thinks it's okay to throw a punch as long as the person that you're punching said something mean about somebody you like or whatever. Whatever stupid reason people are using to riot and be violent today. And then they're like, oh, my God, a bunch of people picked fights with cops and wound up dead. And I'm so offended. And my paid rioters feel unsafe as they're protecting widespread fraud financed by taxpayers and debt spending from millions of people who came into the country illegally. And now we're going to shut down the government over it. And Republicans are like, OK, shut down the government. I don't care. Don't threaten me with a good time. This gives you power over me. Apparently, they have a deal, but they don't have a deal because there's not enough Republicans who are agreeing to vote for this deal. So it's not really a deal, is it? And even if they do agree to the deal, which they don't yet have, half of the Senate went home already for the weekend, so they won't vote on time, which means the government's going to get shut down. And again, I just can't figure out what kind of sandwich I'm going to make because I don't really care. That's just kind of how I roll. So that one's going on this morning. Hey, I just want to say thank you very much to Thanos' quote here. The universe requires correction. Well, somebody in gold markets sure as hell just snapped, didn't they, Armando? Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. The universe does require correction. I mean, honestly, the sell-off we're seeing in gold and silver, you could argue that we're due for it. I mean, look at what the price has done. All I'm saying is where's the same sell-off in AI stocks? Oh, by the way, did we even talk about Bitcoin today? I don't even think we talked about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is getting freaking clobbered today. I didn't even open my Bitcoin chart. You know what? I got distracted. I saw this big red FU candle in the gold market, and I didn't even talk about Bitcoin. That's off another $1,300 this morning after selling off about $4,000 yesterday, sitting around $83,249. Somebody poked Michael Saylor with a stick. Yep, the universe requires correction. Well said, Armando. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Brolin1, thank you, sir, for the super sticker and supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. Well, hey, Brolin, isn't that the guy who played Thanos? We got a lot of Thanosian themes going on this morning. Josh Brolin, right? Wasn't that the actor who played Thanos? Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Armando's back again. He says, serious question here, Jack. Serious answer forthcoming. No one really knows how much money was lost during the GFC. I think I heard $7 trillion was lost yesterday. $5.9 trillion was the number I heard. About $60 billion in a minute. Why didn't everything collapse? Well, I'll tell you why everything didn't collapse. because that money was never real. That 5.9, again, 5.9 was the number I heard. That was the value that went up in smoke. The amount of actual selling that caused that $5.9 trillion in losses was probably only a few billion dollars. It's like that story last week with the Japanese bond market. The Japanese government bonds saw their biggest sell-off, to my knowledge, in history. Maybe the one in 94 was bigger. But there was a really brutal sell-off in the Japanese bond market 2 weeks ago, and it was triggered by something like $280 million of selling in Japanese government bonds, and hundreds of billions of dollars evaporated over that. Because the price is determined at the margin, and when markets get over-levered, like everything is, a small amount of selling can cause huge changes in price. And that huge change in price multiplied across all of whatever thing is selling off equals the number that goes, the number that you're seeing there, that $5.9 trillion worth of value that was lost yesterday. Like with Microsoft, $350 billion, $357 billion in market cap. There wasn't $357 billion of selling. It was probably only a few hundred million in selling. So that's why everything didn't collapse. You're talking about all of this value of assets, many of it paper and imaginary, going up in smoke. That money never existed to begin with. And that's why nobody misses it when it's gone. You know, you felt rich. That's really the only difference. Until you actually sell, you have not made any money. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel, sir. I hope I got your answer there. Xavier Little John, thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, is this an overreaction sell-off on precious metals? In your opinion, will the bull run continue? All right. It is my opinion. Yes, the bull run will continue. I could be wrong about that. I don't have a lot of conviction. I haven't done any buying since 60 in silver. All right. So, I mean, I was like uber bullish right up until we blew through the 50s and then into the 60s. And then I was like, things are getting a little nutty here. Of course, we doubled from there. We went to 121. So, you know, I'm not trying to call a top by any measure. I am being very cautious here. I'm not chasing. I'm still really exposed to metals prices. I own miners. I own ETFs. I own physical metal. I have some in my IRA as well. So in my opinion, no, it's not an overreaction. I think this is an equal and opposite reaction, right? We saw prices go vertical up. Seeing them come vertical down, at least for a couple hours, is not surprising at all. So I don't think it's an overreaction. In my opinion, it will run its course. This margin increase will be digested. Those Chinese traders who went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, they'll get wiped out. The market will settle down. All the underlying causes that have pushed metals higher are still there. And so I think this bull run will continue. I would focus more on what gold does. All right. Whatever silver is going to multiply whatever gold does. So I think it's more important to watch what gold is doing here. If we see gold stabilize and start to tick higher again, I think it means we got more room to run here. Good question. Thank you, Xavier, for supporting the channel, sir. Big Mouth Barry says, if money coming out of crypto in metals, where is it going besides up in smoke? It looks like it went to cash somewhat this morning. I mean, cash was up a little bit. Stocks are down. Honestly, what we're seeing is deleveraging here. So it's not really like people are pulling money out and now they're like, where do I do it? It's imaginary money that was created when people borrowed to buy these assets is being destroyed. That's the deleveraging. So that's why we're not really seeing a big rally in anything else right now. I think it's just people who went too far out on the branch, hearing a snap, and down they go. Thank you very much, Big Mouth Barry, for supporting the channel, sir. Bob89 says, in unrelated news, Novak is back, Jack. Finals. I don't know who Novak is. Is this a professional sports thing? Guys, I haven't watched a play of anything in years. Who's Noah? Is that the tennis guy we're talking about? The tennis guy who didn't want to get the jab? Is that who we're talking about? All right. Yeah, tennis. Ball going back and forth across the net. Everybody gets excited. I don't know. Look, I mean, I was an unsuccessful jock in high school. I played basketball and ran track and a couple other things. I like sports as a kid, but honestly, I'm more of a Panamint Circuses kind of guy now. I really think the real excitement, the real action is elsewhere. And what they're not talking about when everybody's talking about the Super Bowl, for example. And by the way, we had a story this morning about the Super Bowl. Well, I forget what the number was. Mish gave me this story. They're expecting ridiculous gambling on the Super Bowl this year. And, you know, turn on the TV, for more than 10, 15 minutes. And what do you get hit? You get ads for Polymarket, for Kalshi, for FanDuel, for DraftKings, for BetMGM, for all of these easy ways for degenerates to get that drop of dopamine while watching their money go up in smoke. What was it Armando said about the universe requiring correction? F yeah, the universe requires correction. All right, we got to flush this garbage out. There is just so much degeneracy running rampant everywhere. And guys, be careful on these prediction markets. The prediction markets are just rampant fraud, insider trading in freaking everything. Never touch the stuff. So thank you very much, Bob. I know that was kind of like way off on a tangent from your comment, but I very much appreciate the super chat and the support of the channel. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. Appreciate that very much. Thank you for the super chats. Thank you also to my magnanimous Melon Heads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Today is the day, our get-together on Zoom at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for Q&A, as we do every week on Friday. Links are down below, should you feel so inclined. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the algorithm on the way out. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.